It's time for Wolo and Friends on Sports 56. Here is your host, the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin.
Good Masters morning. There they were. Gary Player, Jack Nicklaus, Tom Watson. They kicked off the Masters with the ceremonial first tee drive. Jack didn't look so good. Watson was right down the middle. Everybody had fun. And now things are for real and interesting for sure. If you're looking for an early leader. How about Patrick Reed? Patrick Reed, 3 under through three holes. He birdied the first. He eagled the second. How about a blast from the past? Jose Maria Olazabal, 2 under through 10. Kurt Kitayama, 2 under through 10. Rather, seven. Tommy Fleetwood is 2 under through three. Landon Schmidt, any sentimental value here with all like Fleetwood? I think people would like for Fleetwood to finally win a major. He finally won a tournament on the PGA Tour, getting the playoff last year. Anybody you really want to see well, and what's your thoughts about Fleetwood? Because I think he's like the sentimental favorite here.
Yeah, I feel like Tommy Fleetwood's definitely going to continue to be that role of an underdog until he finally gets a string of wins under his belt, because he's going to be the guy that can get there but then never cross the threshold to win it. So I don't think he wins the Masters, but if he finds himself in the top five or something close to that, I think that would be a win for him, at least. But
I think he can win this. I really do. I think he's got the putting ability to win it.
He's good. I just don't think he can pull it off.
Well, I heard this is a great explanation of what you have to do at the Masters. Obviously, you got to be a great putter because the greens are so difficult. But it's really a second shot golf course.
Yeah.
You have to hit certain positions on the green, wherever that flag may be, in order to have access to get there with a chance at a one putt. Or if you miss the spot, you're looking at a three putt. So that second shot is so critical. I think Fleetwood's a good enough iron player to do just that. Max Homa, Sam Burns, Ryan Gerard, Nick Taylor. Here's a blast from the past. Dustin Johnson, Akshay Bhatia. Some think he could get a major. Russell Henley, Xander Schauffele, who's had a good start to the year. They are all at 1 under par. We'll keep our eyes on all of this. While we're talking about the Masters, you know who the mad scientist is, right? That is Bryson DeChambeau. I didn't know, Landon, this was possible. Have you ever heard of this? The guy has made a golf club, which he had to have examined and passed for regulatory reasons, his own 5-iron. He made that 5-iron with a different sort of more weight in the club head and a bubble to it or something of that nature. He made the club from a 3D printer.
I thought that was Brooks Koepka.
No, that's DeChambeau.
Oh.
And it passed the USGA test. So he's using it in his bag. Here's what he uses, and I'm going to ask you this because I literally have never heard of these, and I know golf. And I actually called Mickey Barker to find out if he knew these things. Yeah. Have you ever heard of the Crank driver and fairway woods? Crank. K-R-A-N-K.
No.
Never heard of them. Obviously, I never heard of a 3D 5-iron before either.
No, I haven't.
His irons are Avoda irons. Never heard of that either.
Mm-mm.
How about his wedges? They're Bettinardi. Now, most people have heard of Bettinardi putters. That's where they got into the business. Apparently, they're making wedges now, but I never knew that either. So he's using all these clubs that no one knows about, including a 5-iron that he made himself with a 3D printer. Crazy. The guy
crazy.
Is definitely unique. There's no question about
scientist
that.
Is a way to phrase it.
Mad scientist. Absolutely. For sure. The Grizzlies fall in Denver last night. Then they flew to Utah, where we will speak with Pete Pranica in about 5 minutes or so. I don't know Can the Grizzlies out-tank Utah in the game? When is that game? Is that tonight or tomorrow night? I think it's – is it tonight? Must be, because they wouldn't have flown, I don't think, last night. Is that not crazy?
That is crazy.
They're going to – I don't know which team is going to out-tank the other team. I'm going to double-check to see when that – if that game is
– Grizzlies play the Jazz this Friday.
It's Friday, so it's tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay. If you, you know, you look at the standings here, Utah is desperately trying to hold on to the last spot. They are tied with Sacramento, but I think they got the tiebreaker for the most balls. Memphis and Dallas with New Orleans are in a race for 11 through 13. I think the Grizz have a chance at 13, but they got to lose. Sacramento and Utah are all going to try to tank. I don't see either team winning a game. There's two games left for everybody. So something's got to give with Memphis and Utah in the tank-a-thon. We will have to wait and see on that. I saw that UFL is expanding. UFL's moving
two
to
more teams.
Oak City. Oh, two more teams. Mm-hmm. I only saw Oak City.
They announced OKC. I don't know about the other.
Yeah, because I was going, that's nine teams. I got to have a 10th, right?
Yeah. I don't think the next location has been announced. Well, it's definitely got to be closer to the east. There's not much going far west, so I don't know.
Yeah, Oak City, right. So you got to get somebody for the other side.
I think so.
Does Philly have a team?
I don't think they do. No, they don't.
Okay. Maybe that's where they would end up.
Because
they were in Philly when they were the USFL.
Mm-hmm. I think that would be the most northern team in the UFL.
Huh. We shall see on all of that. The NCAA is talking and clearly considering a model of 5 years. And we talked a little bit about this yesterday, and I know that Greg and Eli had touched on it. I like the idea. We're going to talk with Tom Hart about that in the middle segment. The way it would work is once your high school graduation occurs, or whether you're 19, at 19, it all starts. Your clock starts. You have 5 years of eligibility. You could play in all 5 years. There's no addressing the portal that I've seen, or the transfer rule here. But under the executive order of Donald Trump, that included one-time transfer in the portal. You could transfer again as a graduate, or you, although that would probably be tough if you are following the five-year deal. Although if you graduated in 3 years, you'd have the ability to transfer and not worry about it, and maybe twice if you wanted to as a grad. And any of this model, I would suspect they are going to need antitrust exemption from Congress. Otherwise, people are going to keep going to court, try to get more and more for themselves. So we'll talk about that. And in our final segment, I know Jarvis Greer has been out to Tiger football practice. We'll see what's going on. The spring game is coming up on the 18th, that is 9 days from now. I'm sitting in the Family Leisure Studios. And a reminder, we've got that floor model sale still going on. We've got a chemical sale that's going right around the corner where there will be a deep discount on chemicals, and you need them. With all the pollen in the air and those wormies, that's what I call those buds that fall from the trees in spring. We're just about over those. When they come, your pool turns green. You're going to need shock. You're going to need definite chlorine tablets, so they've got sales coming. I-40 and Widen Road, check them out. You'll love what you see at Family Leisure. And if you tell them we sent you, there's an extra something coming your way. So please go check that out. Pete Pratica, got to be tired. Flew last night from Denver all the way, not a long flight, to Salt Lake City. That's where the Jazz and the Grizz will battle tomorrow night, and that'll be interesting to watch because the way things have going, both have obviously tried to lose games here of late. You're going to really call one of the more interesting games of the year next tomorrow night, I think. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning. Yeah, I have no idea what to expect. I just started on my boards for tomorrow and realizing that lost 156 to 137 to New Orleans, and New Orleans had 44 fast break points and 90 paint points.
Wow.
Tomorrow could be, we talked about it on the postgame show last night. We're not really sure what to expect because both teams obviously are thinking more about the lottery than anything else.
Isn't that nuts? I have this question for you. I was watching last night and, you know, I'm watching all these guys. Nine guys played, 13 guys were out. Even Taj Gibson got into it last night. But I'm looking at Lucas Williamson and I'm trying to go, who is this guy? You know, we've seen a bunch of guys come up that there was never any idea in our minds when this season began that you would have this kind of crazy finish to it. How many of the guys that played, the nine guys that played last night, how many of them will be in Memphis uniforms other than Cedric Coward next year?
Well, I would imagine Mayshak and Hendricks and Clayton probably will.
Okay.
The guys that you're really counting on. You know, the 10-day guys, basically, you know, they're all hardship exemption 10-day contracts because guys are out for the season. But, you know, I think Walter Clayton, because he's put together a string of nice games. I struggled with the transition getting to Memphis. And I mentioned it on the broadcast last night. What a year for him, going from a national championship and the most outstanding player in the Final Four. You come to Utah, a bunch of guys ahead of you. Your opportunity is limited. Now you are in the middle of your rookie season and having to adapt to a new system. And, let's be honest, it's a unique situation where, you know, your experience for guys and winning and losing is not the.
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit. Hopefully it'll get better as we go here. As you look at Clayton's tools, you've seen so many players over all your years. What do you think his ceiling is? Is he a starting guy in the NBA? Is he just a backup guy? Where can Clayton really fit in?
At this point, him is probably a backup. So now if you're thinking about the Grizzlies point guard situation moving forward, I don't know that anybody anticipates that Morant is going to be back. So now who's going to be your lead guard? Is it going to be Scottie Pippen Jr., who barely had to play and has had two toe surgeries?
Yeah.
I don't think Walter Clayton is ready yet to be a starter in the NBA. So your point guard situation is something that's going to really, is Scottie good enough to be a starting point guard? I don't think Walt is there yet, so that is going to be one of the main questions for this franchise moving forward.
As we look at it, I don't know if you've looked at personnel yet in the draft. We're looking all the time because I'm watching college basketball on a regular basis. I believe the Grizzlies will have three picks in the top 35. If you're just going by position, let's start with point guard because – And let's just assume that Ja's not going to be back. Is that your first pick? Where do you think the biggest needs are? What do you want to see them get in those first 3-35 opportunities?
I think a 1 and a 5. Right now you're talking about, again, you've got an injury issue with Pippen. We don't know what Walter Clayton, again, is he going to be a starter or is he going to be a backup guy? We don't know what's going to happen with Brandon Clark going forward. You know, rebounding has been the major issue for this Grizzlies team, or a lack of rebounding and a lack of size, really throughout the year. Anytime Edie hasn't played, it's been a problem on the backboard. So you're going to need a big, you're going to need a, Lord knows the Grizzlies have plenty of wings that are talented, and with the emergence of Olivier Maxence Prosper, I think you feel pretty good about your wing situation.
I love Coward. Other than Flagg and Knuppel, I would imagine he's the next rookie, right? I mean, is he going to make all rookie And I wonder what that means for him financially.
Yeah, I don't know what's into his contract. I think there's a possibility he would. Obviously, you know, Edgecombe has played really well. Ace Bailey did not play the other night in New Orleans, but he has really come on. They've given him a lot more minutes and opportunities, given they're trying to look at their young guys. I think Sid certainly is going to be up there. He's a top five rookie scorer, top five rookie rebounder. So I think he would definitely garner some serious consideration for all-rookie.
I guess if you're really looking now at what you've got right here, Coward and Edie are your two main staple guys. You got to get that point guard as you're talking about. But those are pretty, I think, pretty solid guys to build around, provided that Edie can just be healthy. I mean, what does he have, two ankle injuries or surgeries now, hoping to finally get it right?
Yeah, and that's going to be the key. When you think about this season and the Grizzlies, the wonderful job of putting together a great roster, their preferred starting lineup played for 6 minutes this year. That's it. So, you know, and you only had Edie for 11 games in the Grizzlies games, and they were like plus 10 rebounds per game when Edie played. So Edie and Kyle linchpins, I think, going forward. Jalen Wells is going to be an important piece, and he really improved as the season went on. I think assistant coach Ryan Saunders has done a brilliant with Jalen. So, you know, he's another key piece, but you got to have a big, whether or not Edie is going to be totally healthy next year. You're going to have have somebody in reserve.
Would you go after a guy like Boozer? I don't think he's a true four or five by any means, but he's certainly a great big player.
You go for best available, and sure, why not?
I'm sold on him. I truly am. You got to have point guard. I don't know if you take that with one or two, if that's where you ended up going, because there are some really good guys. But man, Acuff and Flemings and Wagler, and I know I'm missing some guys, but there are just so many good point guards that I think are going to be really good NBA players. Acuff, for me, I love the guy. Have you looked at any of these guys, and wouldn't that be perfect? And if you've got Pippen as your backup and your third guy is Clayton, that's a deep position, man.
Yeah, and let's you know, he's emerged as well. Honestly, Wolo, I just don't pay attention to college basketball or the draft because I am so immersed in the NBA. So, you know, once the season is over and we have the draft combine, then I'll start diving in. But, you know, at this point, haven't been paying attention to it because I'm so inundated in the NBA.
All right. Last night, Oak City, they claimed the number one seed. They clinched it. So they got home court throughout. Are they going to repeat? Will they be defending champions, or two-time champions, I should say?
I just think there's so much parity in the NBA right now that, you know, San Antonio is going to have a shot. Denver, yeah, I'm just impressed with Denver. They're the only team in the league that's top five in all three shooting games. One of the best offenses they've had, and they're lawfully good offensively. And let's not forget the Eastern Conference. You know, you look at Detroit, and is Detroit going to learn from their scars that they endured last year at the hands of the New York Knicks? And Boston right now, you got Tatum and Brown, and they're both healthy and productive, and what could that mean? So could they? Yeah, certainly Oklahoma City can repeat. A competition for the Larry O'Brien Trophy is even stiffer this year than it was last year.
Well, you know, and I think Detroit has to be really considered a major obstacle, too. If they get through the East, Boston with Tatum back, obviously you're going to take a good, long, hard look at those guys. But they did get their star back last night. Cade returned, and Cade Cunningham had a double-double to say, look, I'm fine. I think you got to really give big consideration to the Pistons.
I think you do. I mean, they can play any to play. Jalen Duren has had an amazing season, speaking of a former Tiger. Cunningham has been brilliant. And Detroit is, they're back to, they're not the bad, back to the tough-minded, Detroit old sneaker type of basketball team. And I think J.B. Bickerstaff has done a wonderful job with them. And they're not going to back down from anybody. And I think when the game slows down in the postseason, able to play that way, they'll be able to play with physicality. So they're going to be a champion. They'll be a very, very tough out.
One last team we got to talk about are the Lakers. That's LeBron's team, obviously. He's the only healthy one, though. Luka, a hamstring. I think there's an abdominal issue with Austin Reeves. Both of them will have missed now the last 2 weeks of the regular season. Most of the time, these injuries they have take longer than 2 weeks to heal or 3 weeks to heal. We got Vanderbilt and J.J. Redick, the coach, on the bench quarreling. Where are the Lakers? Are they dead in the water because of the injuries?
They're not championship contenders. They're just not. They've got stars. They have a bench. You know, they have one of the lowest producing benches in the NBA. And look, I understand there are no back-to-backs. In the postseason, there are extra days of rest baked into the schedule, but still, having said that, if they don't have their stars, if they don't have Doncic put on an absolutely Hall of Fame postseason, they're quite likely a one and done.
I look forward to watching these NBA playoffs and getting your observations every Thursday. We thank you, Pete. Safe travels. I guess you go Utah tomorrow night. What's your last home road game? Last game?
Sunday night at Houston.
Sunday night at Houston. Okay. And then all of you guys will come home hopefully safe and sound. We look forward to talking with you next Thursday. Thank you, buddy.
Sounds good.
That's Pete Pranica, TV voice of your Memphis Grizzlies. He's brought to you by the good folks at Miramichi. You want a complete golf experience? You want to walk through the woods on the back nine with a string kind of rolling around with you there and hills, and it's gorgeous. The front, pretty too, and a little more open, very challenging. You can play all the way back past 7,000 yards. You can move up to under 6,000, the way I kind of like to play in this day. It's the complete place. It's got the great clubhouse. It's got a deck between 9 and 18 with the best view, I think, in Shelby County. You've got food that's terrific. You've got practice facilities unlike any public golf course, better than most country club courses. It's the complete experience, and it's not in Millington. It's in Woodstock, 25 minutes from my driveway. Go check it out. You'll thank me later. Tell them we sent you. Go get the complete, beautiful golf experience at Miramichi. We pause for a second. When we come back, I think to Atlanta we go. We hope to connect with ESPN's Tom Hart one last time to put this year to bed right here on Wallow and Friends.
Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Available locally on your radio dial as well as around the world online at sports56whbq.com. Take us with you everywhere by downloading the Sports 56 app. And at home, just say, Alexa, play Sports 56. Wherever you are, it's easy to stay tuned to Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Wallow and Friends on Sports 56. Here once again is the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin.
We welcome you back in. Looks like we're having a hard time getting a hold of Tom Hart today. So we will carry on without the voice. One of the voices of ESPN does such a terrific job. This portion of the show brought to you by Shell Dunn, who's the best real estate point guard in town. Make no mistake about it. That would be my guy. He's the veteran. He's got the strategy. He executes. He works it. You know, you got to work out all the time to be good. This is why he's terrible in golf, because he can't work it. But, man, he works 365, 24/7 on that strategic marketing program that really gets you to the closing table quicker and for the most money you can get. He's got it down. He's been doing it for 40-something years. All you got to do is make the call. He says call two or three real estate brokers. Just make sure he's one of the guys, and then he'll tell you about the strategy, and then you'll understand why everybody likes him so much. And then read at memphisrelocate.com all the glowing things on all his social media, and you'll understand why, if you want the job done, you call Sheldon. Sheldon Rosengarten, Mark Spensdorf. That's memphisrelocate.com or 483-0546. You know, this tanking business is so interesting to me, Landon. Last night, it's lineups that you decide to play, calls that you decide to make that make it organizational tanking. This is not players that aren't playing hard, because most of these guys who played last night, they are trying to make teams. They want to show the NBA, I can make this league. I will play, and I will play hard for you. But it's the way you play these guys and the calls you play and the way you put your defensive lineups in. And the Grizzlies not getting a big man for the last 6 weeks when they knew they needed a big. They were outscored last night in the paint 66-44. They were out-rebounded by 19. Now, you can't tell me you couldn't have found a way to get a couple of big guys with 10-day contracts or two-way guys and figured out how to at least get a little bit better on the inside.
Wasn't that supposed to be Taj Gibson's role?
Well, he did play last night. He played 4 minutes, 2 points, 2 rebounds. And how many games did he play since he joined the team?
He's been sparingly making appearances.
Yeah. So you had 9 guys play last night.
2-year deal for
one of them was Gibson, who played 4 minutes. Really, 8 guys with 13 guys. And no defense. Do you know the Nuggets shot 59%? Come on. And he was talking about, what was it, the Utah-New Orleans game where they scored 150-something? I mean, I'll bet you the shooting percentages in that were, well, they were all fast break. 90 points in the paint on fast break points, too? I mean, just crazy stuff. I don't know what you end up doing. I don't know what the league can do about the tanking situation. I go back, and anybody I talk to just shies away from this. They don't like the idea. I don't know if you do or not. But you know how you stop tanking? You don't have a draft. The best bidder gets the best player. But if you do that, you've got to have a strict cap. Otherwise, the Lakers, the Knicks, the big market teams, the traditional team like the Celtics in a big market, they're going to have the huge advantage. And they may still have the best advantage to get free agents. But if you have a hard cap, you can't go over the cap, not even with penalty. You can't do it. Just not allowed. Then you got to spend wisely. And that would allow the smaller market teams like Memphis. If they identify a guy, and I'll just throw out Boozer or Acuff, one of those two guys, depending on what your need might be. And if Edie is healthy, then you get rid of Ja, you need a point guard. Even though you got Pippen and you got Clayton, you need a front line great guard. So let's just say that's Darius Acuff. You identify. He's the next guy. He's going to be the John Morant that never showed up, right? You could outbid everybody for him, unless they have fresh, rookie salary ramifications, which they shouldn't if they do this. You identify that guy. You're taking a chance. You're all in on him. You can outbid all these other teams. You put your eggs in that basket and build around him. Now, you still all have the same ceiling, whatever that cap is. It's 53% of the total revenue. You can't go over it. No one's tanking anymore. You're just trying to win because it doesn't matter. To me, that's the only thing that I can see that would really work. You could do the 2-year average. I guess that would be helpful. There's other ways they can do this. But to me, you want to really make it where you're never going to get tanking, no years, because it makes no difference. You do this. No draft, just bid for the best players.
Yeah. I mean, drastic calls for drastic measures. So that would be about as drastic as you could get, is completely doing away with the draft.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it would be really cool.
It'd be interesting for sure.
I've heard other people talk about this, but this is serious bad business. When you have a third of the league, 10 teams for the last third of the year, at the prices these people have to pay to go to these games, you're not seeing the best players and you're not trying to win? Are you kidding me? This is why, and I was reading the Daily Memphian threads on people talking about, after a Calkins column, not renewing their season tickets. I happen to know a couple of people who are not renewing their season tickets. They're not renewing their season tickets, not necessarily totally for the tank, but they're not renewing their season tickets because they're tired of paying that kind of money. And the Grizzlies front office has made big mistakes. They upped the prices. They took away a lot of the perks that used to be a part of the package. Now you had to do extra stuff to get the perks. So they've done a terrible job with community relations, or sales relations, I guess I should say. I don't know. Used to be they would do more with community relations too, but they're such a buttoned-up organization. But it's because they don't play the players. Mm-hmm. The load management, and if you're a guy who wanted to see a star player come in, and like the Bucks, if you paid money, big money, you decided this is the game I want to see because I want to see Giannis. And then Giannis isn't playing, and Giannis is saying, I want to play. They won't let me. I mean, how frustrating is that? People, and this is a league-wide issue, people are going to stop coming if the players don't play, and they don't think they will. I think, you know, barring you get out of those 35 picks, you get like the second or third pick and the 12th or 13th pick and then 35, something like that, and they're all great players. I just think, and even then, I still think the Grizzlies are going to take a big percentage hit on season tickets. And they would do themselves a favor, and this was the point of the Calkins column, and I agree with him. They do not communicate. They don't let you really know what's going on. They are so tight-lipped. They've got great pieces of their grind city that are capable of relaying the message. They have a GM that is articulate. Why not let him talk? I know people talk about Chris Wallace, and this was part of the stream. They go, well, he wasn't a very good GM. Well, you know, he did get teams to the Western Conference playoffs and to the Western Conference title game one year. He did put together the core four. But the best part about Chris was he wanted to be part of the community. He would go to every event. He would talk on every radio station. He would give one-on-one interviews. At any time, this wasn't, I'm going to do a press conference twice a year. This was, I want to spread the message. They don't do that. And when they take this big hit this year, they better look at themselves in the mirror and go, we got to change. We got to do some things better. You know, not just tanking and load management, but we got to get out there and really peddle our product and tell everybody why the NBA is so great and why the Grizzlies are so great and why we're staying here. And make sure you're assuring everybody, because I know you're trying to make sure you got control of Beal and downtown. That's great. But let people know what you're trying to do and that you're staying. That would go a long, long way. I was going to talk with Tom about this, but we have this debate, Big Ten and SEC. And everybody who grew up here, and that's perfectly understandable, right? You grew up, where you grow up, that's the best. It's like kids who grew up with a certain announcer, that is going to be the best announcer they've ever heard their entire life because that's what they grew up with. And, you know, that's a beautiful thing because you remember moments of your life by different things that affect you. It could be the smell of something. It could be the first sight you saw of something and the sounds that are all a part of that. And so I get the SEC loyalty here. Now, I grew up in Big Ten country. I try to be as honest and objective about things. And I love the marketing thing. It just means more. I think that was beautifully put. And it says a lot about the SEC. And there's no question how athletics is important to those SEC schools. Just look at Alabama and how much the hiring of Nick Saban has helped that whole university. More students are there. Better students are there. And you can connect the dots and attribute that to that football program under Nick Saban for elevating the enrollment and for elevating the qualifications to get into that school. Much better students. It's a great story. But it's also absolute fact that the current national champions in football, basketball, and women's basketball all come from the Big Ten. The last three football champions have all come from the Big Ten. The number one team in baseball this year is UCLA from the Big Ten. And if I recall correctly, because of the Big Ten network revenue, the Big Ten actually gets more revenue stream from media rights than the SEC. Now, don't get me wrong. The SEC media rights, they're 10 times the amount the American gets. And the American is the best group of six now, the best lower-level media rights collector of all the other conferences. But the Big Ten brings in more revenue than the SEC. So it might mean more, but if we look at the facts, it's not as good. The SEC is not as good as the Big Ten.
No, they're not. And it's unfortunate for where we're at right now, but it's the day and age, and I think a lot of it has to do with the transfer portal, with a lot of people leaving. I mean, the standard is just not there anymore, it doesn't seem like, for the SEC. That's why you've seen them. That's why you've seen all those top teams falter year after year. Like, Florida should be one of the top contenders year after year, and yet they struggle to put together winning seasons. And now, hopefully, with the new addition of their new head coach, they're trying to turn things around. But like, that's just one of the examples of a team that should be really, really good and is not. And so everybody's going to the Big Ten. All the big names are going to the Big Ten. That's why the Big Ten just keeps rolling. And I think a lot of it has to do with the money, the revenue that they're bringing in, because people want to get paid and they want to play at a good program. And that's the Big Ten.
These things are going to go back and forth, honestly, because there's no doubt before this three-year period, the SEC was the top football league. And, just last year, 14 of the SEC teams got into the NCAA tournament. Not quite as good this year. What, only 10?
I think so.
Yeah, 10. And the Big Ten got 9. These things are fluid. Those are clearly the two best leagues, and they got to get their act together. They got to decide 16, 24. 24 is ridiculous. 16 is right. Let's get this done. Let's get all the bowl contracts done. And then one last thing, we put this thing to bed. I don't think Michigan will repeat. I don't know that they will get all these guys. Like, is Cadeau going to come back? Is Mara going to come back? If they come back and they got two, I think, top 20 guys from the ESPN basketball class for next year that are signed, they could. But I don't see back-to-back champions. Although we did see that with UConn just a couple of years ago. But yeah. I just don't see.
I think the transfer portal is way different. There's too many people in it now.
At Augusta, we've got three guys atop the leaderboard. Kurt Kitayama now is 3-under through 9. Tommy Fleetwood, 3-under through 6, just like Patrick Reed. Patrick Reed was 3-under through 2 holes. He's parred the next 4. But that's interesting. And Ola Thabel through 12 holes, still at 2-under. That is really something if he could put together and even make the top 25. He's tied for 4th now with Sam Burns. And you got a bunch of guys all at 1-under, including Nick Taylor, Akshay Bhatia, Dustin Johnson still 1-under through 6. Xander Schauffele, a favorite by many to win this thing, 1-under through 5. The only guy that you can already say is definitely out, and that would be, boy, this is so bad, you will not believe it, Aldrich Potgieter. He is, I just lost it, where is it? He was 8-under through 8 over through 8 holes, and what the heck happened here? Let me see if I can get back to it. Potgieter is now he's 11 over through 12 holes. 11 over through 12 holes. He just double bogeyed 12, the par 3. Oof. Yeah, he's not coming and playing on Saturday. He'll get another round tomorrow. We take a break. When we come back, we're heading downtown. The Hall of Famer, Jarvis Greer, on Tiger football and the Grizz draft and a whole bunch more. What's he think about tanking? We'll get his take in just a minute.
Did you miss your favorite Sports 56 show?
No!
Check out the podcast, broken down hourly, at sports56whbq.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to like and subscribe. Never miss any Sports 56 show again with our podcasts available daily from Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Wolo and Friends on Sports 56. Here once again is the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin.
You learn something every day. It used to be the Masters never said how much money they paid their players. They now have a list. This I did not know this. If you're a pro and you play at Augusta and you do not make the cut like Aldrich Poltgeiter, you make $25,000 just for coming. You make $25,000. Usually, you don't make the cut. You don't make any money. But at the Masters, you make $25,000. If you make the cut, the least you're going to make is about $53,000. If you win, you're going to win $4.2 million. If you are in the top four, you're going to make over $1 million. Wins $4.2 million. $2,268,000 for second, $1,428,000 for third, $1,008,000 for fourth. Wow. Good money in golf, that is for sure. Jarvis Greer, you should have played that instead of football. You might have become a billionaire.
Yeah, I guess I should play golf. That's what my son-in-law has, my grandson, playing golf now. He played in the Overton Park Open, did quite well as a seven-year-old.
Ah, very good.
Yeah, so, that
thing's been open. I think that thing's
been around. It's the oldest continuous youth golf tournament in the country.
Yeah, I want to say, how many years is that?
Oh, crap. Jeez, I don't know.
I think it's over 100 years.
It's a long time. Yeah. I think it's over 80.
Yeah, maybe it's 100. Years. I don't know. I'm trying to remember. Oh, you know what? I think Overton Park opened right after Memphis Country Club. So you're talking about 100 years ago is what you're talking about. I don't know. You're probably right. That thing's probably about 80 years old. I'll double check.
Get your golf guy, man. Your golf guy would know.
Yeah, Mickey Barker. Mickey Barker can tell me just like that. All right. The Grizz losers last night. I don't know who's going to tank harder tomorrow, Utah or the Grizz.
That is the game. That is the tankathon showdown. That is it. I don't know if the Grizzlies can be any worse than, I don't want to say worse, but can put out a project that is as bad as what Utah is putting out there. Because Utah is just putrid. And they, even if they play the guys that they have left to play, the Grizzlies players on these 10 days and two ways are still better than that. So I don't know how that's going to work out, you know, unless they say, well, Cedric Coward, you know, you can't play. You played last night. He had 27, by the way, at Denver last night. You got a heel injury or you got a soft tissue, something or other. You need to sit this guy, you know, and they need to – I don't know how this is going to work out, but, you know, that could be – that some ping pong balls are on the line, that's for sure.
What do you propose to do? I've talked about eliminating the draft. That would take care of this problem. And have a hard cap, and then the great free agents probably end up going to the bigger markets. But if you identify when players come out of college and wrap them up with big term contracts that you outbid people for, I think you could do quite well. Honestly, I would love to see that. I think you got to do something. When a third of the league is tanking for a third of the season, and you've already got this stuff with road management, my gosh, people don't want to come anymore.
I want to say this: half the season, the end of December, with like 40 games. You know, it's 82 games. So it's 41 games. 39 games left in the season. This started with the Grizz and some other team. Well, the Grizzlies got started a little bit later, but basically Utah and a couple of other franchises were already tanking with 39 games left, and that's ridiculous. You cannot do that.
What do you do? How do you stop it?
Well, you can't just say no draft because then it belongs to the richest owners, and then it's like the Yankees gobbling up everything.
Not if you have a hard cap at 53% of the revenue. And everybody's got the same shot. You can't go above the payroll, so you have to be judicious in how you budget your money.
Well, that is true, but still, they will still figure out a way to do it. There's some way to do it, and smarter minds, bigger minds than mine and yours, so to speak, have been working on this deal. The NBA Competition Committee has been working on this deal, and they've already got several proposals out there. And my guess it'll be, I think there's three that are on the table with a couple of others in the mix, and my guess it'll be some compilation of all of that. And I can't recite all the stuff that they have come with. A couple of them sounded pretty good, a point or two here and there, and a point or two here or there, you know, like, you know, I can't even recite it right now. I can't remember. My brain hurts trying to think of all that stuff.
Well, there was one where it'd be a 2 year. You could put together 2 years of records. I don't know. I'm not sure how you stop it, but I know the league has to stop that, and they got a problem with load management. Maybe this comes from pace of play. Maybe you got to make quicker substitutions. I'm not saying be like hockey with 60-second shifts.
Well, that's what Isolo is doing basically with the Grizzlies. You know, they'll play like 3-4 minutes, and then they're out, and then the next group comes in, and nobody plays more than like 28, 29 minutes a game.
Well, that sure didn't help him, did it? Look at his record.
No. No, because everybody still got hurt. We still got a lot of guys hurt. So I don't know. I think that it's the speed of the game. Me personally, and this is just one man's opinion, I think they've gone to playing so fast out of this analytics thing. A three-pointer is better than a two-pointer, and they're just running back up on the field, jacking up threes. And, you know, if you're hot, great. But if you're not, you know, you're going like 7-for-40. You know, I've seen that happen, and not the Grizzlies, but other teams that have come in and tried to do that. Like the Rockets at one point when they had Harden there, they were shooting 53s a game, and they were going to – I think the Celtics do that now. So the thing about it is they got a lot of three-point shooters, right. So they can get away with it. But
they also got a couple of people that can rebound.
Yeah, but you're just running back up and down the floor with nothing going on. There's no other offense, and just run down, first guy gets the three, take it, and if you miss it, you're running back the other way. And I think that all that stress, especially the bigger guys, all that stress it puts on their joints and everything, I think there's only, you know, we may have reached the limit of what the human body can do, and that's why you're seeing all these injuries. Plus the guys make a lot of money, and the owners do not want, oh, got to protect my investment. If you've got a tweak, we're going to sit you until you're totally healthy. Wasn't like the old days when guys just played. But in the old days, the pace wasn't, you know, the scores in the old days, rarely was you see a score 118 to 115. It would be like 104 to 98, you know, back in the 70s and 80s. Now you go look at it. I mean, those were the scores. Mm-hmm. And the Grizzlies, you know, went zagged when everybody else was zigging, playing this fast stuff during the grit and grind era, because that was, we had a bunch of, you know, plowshares. Rather than the gazelles out there with Debo and those guys, and they slowed the game down, got everybody in the mud, and they won games, you know, 102 to 98 and that kind of stuff. But everybody's falling in love with the three, and I think the three is a great weapon. But, you know, we've seen in the NCAA tournament, the big man has come back into the fray, and there's nothing wrong with putting the ball, pounding the ball in the post and getting that two-pointer and then kicking it out, you know, for a three or something other like that.
So,
just running up and down the floor may be contributing to it. That's all I'm saying.
Speaking of the college game, the Grizz are going to have three of the top 35 picks. Who, personnel-wise, would you like to see them get?
Wow. Well, it depends on, you know, where they can, what they can maneuver and get a pick. I would say, well, everybody likes A.J. DeVance out of BYU, and I do too. He's built for the league. He can score. He can play the one or the two. Big guard, 6'6", I believe. Got the NBA body. He's already ready-made. I like Caleb Wilson out of North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Big. You're going to need another center. And you know, Zach Edey cannot be your only big guy, whether he's healthy or not. He's the only big guy on the roster. And Caleb Wilson, two-time All-ACC, I think he's really close to being a 20-10 guy. And playing in a really good league, I like him. And a third guy, you know, if you could get a third guy, oh, geez, that's kind of a tough one.
Don't you need a point guard?
Well, Acuff is good. I really like him, but, you know, our record with small point guards, that's the only thing that bothers me about him. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He's not that big of a guy, and it's a struggle in the NBA. These guys, you're playing grown men. They're grown men in college. You know what? It's professional college sports now.
Right.
It's no longer, you know, these guys are like 24, 25 years old, a lot of. Look at Michigan's roster. Yeah, they're all the Natty, national championship winner. Yeah, they're all transfers, the starting five, but they've been around a while, too. So they're like, instead of being graduating at 21, they're like 23, 24 years old. So, that third guy. That's a good question, Dave. You hit me. What's yours? Because I can't think
of
one.
I love Acuff. I don't know if he's too small. I love Wagler. I love Flemings. I mean, there's so many good point guards in there.
Yeah. A lot of people love Keaton Wagler, and that's for sure.
Yeah.
And he showed that it really means something to him because, you know, he took it hard when they finally got put out of the tournament, and he gave it, you know, everything he had.
Well, he's
he's mature. He can score. He can defend. I like the fact, like, Acuff can't defend, but Wagler can.
No doubt.
He's a good two-way player.
No doubt.
Man, if you get that haul, Lord God, this team would be great.
Well, we'll see because, you know, Pippen comes back. It looks like he'll have Clayton. So if you get a front-line point guard, you would be deep at that position. Next week, Hall of Famer, we'll talk Tiger football because we will be getting ready for the spring game a week from Saturday. So that's what we'll talk about next Thursday. Thank you.
Sounds good. All right, Dave.
Have
be
a
out
good...
of practice.
You got it. That is okay. Jarvis Greer. A man with many hats, that is for sure. He's brought to you by Ken. You want to talk about a guy who he can fill many roles, that's for sure, because he can talk to you about a brand-new dream home from scratch on land that maybe you've got, you're not sure how to utilize, or maybe you're in need of land. He's got it. Maybe you'd like to stay where you are because you love your location, you love your lot, but you want modern amenities. You want the California closets, you want the island in the kitchen, you want the media room with the speaker in the walls, those big screen TVs. He can do it all. He can absolutely build you that dream home. He can renovate. I call it renovation with innovation, bringing in all those wonderful new things to home building. He's done it forever. You're talking third generation. Ken Sr. started it. Ken Jr.'s been running it. And William's in the business now. They all see little details. And they see the big picture all at once. Go to their website, kengarland.com, and see for the last 80-some years, they've been building these beautiful homes or renovating homes throughout the Metroplex. Once you see that, you want to get in touch with him. He's easy to talk to. He's fun to talk to. They're the best. They're the only way to go. That's Ken Garland, Custom Home Builders. I'll be off tomorrow. Landon Schmidt will take you through our Friday. I'll be back on Monday. Johnny Radio's next. Have a great day, everyone.